May be dismissed this morning. And those in the sanctuary would like to turn with me to Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans chapter 5 is where I would like to read from. And I'm thankful for the word of the Lord today. Amen. And the goodness of the Lord. Amen. The book of Romans, Paul is writing to the church. To the church. Most people don't realize that the epistles are the letters to the church. They think it's just letters, but each one of them were written to the saved, those that were familiar with God. Paul was writing to them the letters of instructions. In chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, our justification comes by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so do we glory in tribulations, troubles and problems, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Gift of the Holy Ghost. But when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And he said, for scarcely, verse 7, for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Somebody say amen. 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 Lord, we thank you for the word today. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the blessings of your spirit, Lord. We love and we ask you, God, to minister and anoint. Help us to receive what you have for us today in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. So thankful for the word of the Lord, how God speaks to us and how God ministers to us. God's word does matter to us today. God's word is important to us today. And God's word is something that we don't just take lightly. But we're so thankful that God reached to us today while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Are you thankful that somebody, amen, had you in mind before you was mindful of him? Before we even knew God, God saw fit to die for you and I, to give us a hope, to give us an opportunity, amen, and to give us this blessing, what we call life today. I'm thankful for life. And we want to just talk to us today, amen, about that completeness that God gives, amen, and how whenever you finally realize that God is a God of love and a God of mercy, amen. And when you finally accept that and believe that and let God be God, what a difference God will make. But the scripture begins to talk about it. We're being justified. What does that big word in English mean, justified? It means just as if I never done it. I've been acquitted and released from that sin because Jesus Christ has paid the price for my soul. And we're thankful today that our God is a God of love. Amen. I don't have a God that is up here today that is in heaven looking down and trying to mash us like a roach on a table. Amen. God is not after us like a rat, amen, in the house or a pest in the field. Amen. But my God is a God of love and kindness. God wants you to make it. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to feel him. And God wants you to be filled with him. Amen. The love of God. How great is the love of God? And just recently, my precious wife shared with me a story that she read, and I'm going to share it with you today. And the story goes about, it made a profound point about surrender. Some time ago, a radio station reported that there was a stolen Volkswagen Bug in California, a little Volkswagen car. And the police staged an intense search for the vehicle and the man who stole it. It became so intense that even the radio stations back in that time began to make announcements. They stopped everything in the middle of their programming all over that part of California to begin to let them know that there was a stolen red Volkswagen that was stolen from this place. And they even called the name of the man that stole it and said, "This is the one that stole it, and we are on the lookout. And if you hear us, you need to turn yourself in immediately. Hear us." And it was almost a plea to the driver, the thief of that vehicle. And on it went. And the car's owner, the man that really owned the vehicle, he went to the police and he said this. He said, "On the front seat of my car is a box of crackers. And that box of crackers has been laced with poison." And he said, "I had that box of crackers and I put poison in it because I've been having a problem with rats in my house, in my yard. And I bought that and I laid it on the seat with good intentions to put it out." And so, you see, the driver of that vehicle stole the vehicle with a box of crackers that is laced with poison. The radio stations were issuing a bulletin, an alert, "Turn yourself in." But the thief, not realizing the intentions, fled from the very people who sought to help him. Because back in those days, a box of crackers invited somebody to open them up, open the sleeve up, and start eating and munching on crackers. And the driver kept fleeing from those that wanted to help them. And isn't that very much so today, that the illustration is an important truth? So often we run from God's order. We run from God's hand in order to escape punishment. But actually, what we're actually doing is eluding his rescue. The police were not just trying to say, "Turn yourself in, we caught you." But we're trying to save the man from death. That's the same way with God. Many times God has come through to try to get a hold of you to save you. But many times we bite the hand of the God, amen, that's trying to help us. Today we're going to talk to you, amen, about the beauty of a complete surrender. And I want to ask the question today, are you running from God's love? Are you running from God's love? Amen. Many people just can't accept it. They can't accept that God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. Let me say this, just because you change sides, just because you get out of church and you start living like you want, amen, doesn't mean that you change. Amen. The enemy changes to be on your team. Even though you come against the things of God, you're still facing an enemy who's still your enemy. The devil will be your enemy when you turn your back on God. The devil would never be your friend. But I have a friend in Jesus Christ. A one God, amen, that cares about me. A God that is looking for me and trying to reach to me and to rescue me. My question today, are you running from the love of God? Amen. God's love and his power, amen, wants to help us. And the wondrous thing about God's love, it don't stop. The love of God is amazing. He's the same. The Bible says yesterday, today, and somebody finish it. He's forever. And what he did yesterday, he meant for you and I, even for our today and for our tomorrow. But we've got to get to the place with this truth in mind and accept the love of God. that he, with all his effort, is trying to reach us. God begins to put the bulletin out. God puts his word out. Even the writers of the word of the Lord is out. Even everything is here to try to get you to finally surrender. And to he can allow his rescuing hand to touch your life. But many times we look at it as God trying to impose himself on you. Many times we look at it as rules and regulations. Oh, but friend, I'm thankful for the love of God, the grace of God, the hand of God, the purpose of God. Amen. That God's love is really for us today. Amen. With this in mind, people, so many people live up, end up living a less than productive life. They live a life, the answer, they're searching for life. But it's kind of like a song I heard as a young man. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. When the love of God will satisfy your soul. The love of God will help your life. And the grace of God will change you completely. Amen. The answer today is God. Amen. He has what you need today. If you will let God be God, amen, God will change you with his grace and power, and God's love will bring fulfillment to you. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. But you got to allow the love of God to work in you. You got to accept that love. Many people think, God, I'm not giving up. I'm going to kick. I'm going to scream. God, you're not going to take me this easy. Have you ever seen somebody fight against the things of God? How many has fought against the things of God? Amen. There's some people just don't get it. I mean, God's trying to rescue you, not to slap you, not to put cuffs on you, not just to arrest you, but God's trying to say, hey, amen, there's poison in your life. I'm trying to help you. Amen. There's things there that is detrimental to you. You're headed the wrong direction. But oh, I'm thankful that when the love of God is allowed in a heart and a mind, and when a person comes to terms with God, God will make an exchange. The love of God will exchange your old ways of living for a brand new extraordinary life. Amen. In his power. I'm so thankful for the love of God. The love of God has change in it. Well, love will do amazing things. Here's a boy that doesn't want to brush his teeth. He don't care about his hair. I mean, he gets up in the morning and you have to say, is that the same pair of socks you had on yesterday? And all of a sudden, something sparks. He's in front of the mirror 20 minutes. He's brushing his teeth 3 times a day. And I mean, for the first time, I mean, when we go somewhere, he's saying, Mom and Dad, I like to have some of that stuff that you spray on. You make it smell better. Love will do different things. Love will cause them to act goofy. Amen. Oh, love will cause you to get out of your box, out of your structure. Isn't it amazing what love will do with somebody? Amen. It'll captivate your life. Oh, it will change your life. I'm thankful for the love of God. There's power in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's something amazing in the love of God. It will cause you to change. Amen. When you love God and God's love is operating in you, you're not willing to lay your life down just say, oh, well, it don't matter. Amen. But you're willing to say, God, whatever it takes, I want to please you. I'm going to bless your life. Amen. I want to bless the things of God. The love of God will cause you to exchange your thinking. Most people have an old mindset, old trash can mentality. The holy God of heaven, whenever his love touches you, amen, you're going to change the way you think. You're going to change the way you talk. You're going to change the way you live. Amen. You look at what he done at the cross for you. Amen. As a great offering and a payment for your sins. Some people, amen, this morning in prayer, amen, in my mind, I seen when I was thinking about what the Lord has spoke to me about this day, how some people don't surrender to the love of God. I literally seen in my mind, and I wished I would have got one out of the closet today, a broom or a mop. And I've seen somebody with a mop handle, and they're knocking away God. God, you can't come in. You can't touch my life right now. Oh, God, don't. No, I don't want you right here. And God said, all I want to do is help you. You're poisoning your life. You're ruining your life. You're hurting your life. You're contaminating your life. But yet they have something in defense. No, I'm not letting go of my life. I'm not going to let you in right now. Oh, maybe later, but not now. Amen. If you knew that was cancer up in your body, and that cancer was eating you alive and stealing your life, and all you had to do was just open up and let the physician do his job of removing the cancer. Many of you would let the doctor do it. You would let the physician take control and open you up and get rid of the cancer. But today, sin is worse than cancer. Sin is worse than cancer. But I'm glad that my God is the one who can reach in and take that cancer out of your life. Even that life-stealing source inside of you. Jesus said, I'm come that you may have life and it more abundantly. There's some people haven't found abundant life. Amen. Oh, Fred, they think living is just having things. They think living is just having possessions and being somebody in life. Oh, Fred, that's not really living. You have not lived till you let God be God inside of your heart and life. The love of God will cause a productive life. And there's been people that been around church, they could tell you the things of God. They could tell you that Jesus Christ went to Calvary, rose again from the grave. They have a holy respect for God, but they just don't let God's love fill their mind and heart. Amen. They've not come to the terms. They have not come to the terms. Amen. An agreement. Amen. That God really wants to save you, help you. And what he did on that cross was a payment for your sins. Many people just can't get past the basics that Christ really paid for that. Why stay in it? Why stay in the chains of sin? Why stay in let the cancer swell in your life of sin when God wants to free you and let you live with abundance in your life? God wants to give you a hope. God wants to put a smile in your life. God wants to give you joy and peace. God wants to put something that matters inside of you. But many people are trying to fend God off. They got their broomstick out and telling God, no, not right now. Not today. Let me just keep on going on. Let me keep changing and gambling my life. Let me keep riding on thin ice when God says, I just want to hold you. I just want to help you. I just want to rescue you. I believe right now we need to lift our hands and thank the Lord for his rescuing hand. Amen. God is after you today. Amen. God is wanting to help somebody in this place. Amen. Know his love and his grace. Amen. Come on, would you thank the Lord that God did not give up on you? Amen. That God is for you today. The help and the hand of the Almighty God is there. Come on, lift your voice to him. Amen. Don't just go through the ritual today. Somebody needs to really thank God, even that he went to Calvary to set you free, to rescue your soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the hope that you have for my life, Lord. Hallelujah. The blessings that you have for my soul. Hallelujah. Activating the love of God comes with a surrender. You'll never activate the love of God completely in your life until you surrender. And oh, what an exchange. And I mentioned it just recently. When you stop and you think about it, what you get from God and what he gets from you. What you get from God is the very best. God gave his very best for you just to get your worst. Your part is God gets your crummy old life, your miserable life, your life of no goodness. Your life of same old you. But the Lord says, I'm going to make an exchange. I'm going to put my very best, my treasure in your life. I'm thankful for the treasure of the Almighty God. The difference in the exchange that God makes. But it'll never come until a person finally learns to surrender. Surrender is the thing that brings the completion But we got to come to the terms, to the basics of understanding. When you finally say yes to God and you finally accept what it did for you at Calvary and realize, amen, that he paid the price to rescue you. You don't have to live the way you've been living in misery when there's treasures for you. There's great things in you for you today.
Well,
this is the deal. A lot of times we want our treasures. We want our talents, our time, our thoughts. And we don't want to surrender them. We want to hang on to these things. We have a lot of treasures today in life. It's amazing. In the jail, when you ask them, what's your things? They have nothing in the jail but pictures, maybe a Bible, and a few notes from home. I remember going to visit inside the blocks here in Nacogdoches County. Young man that's acquainted with us. When I went to see Matthew, I walked down that corridor to Matthew Ballard's cell. And when I got there, Matthew was so excited. He was sitting on his bunk. And he jumped up, Brother Crosswell, you came to see me? Yes, Matthew. And I said, Matthew, what you been doing? He said, Brother Crosswell, I've been drawing. He said, look. And he showed me little stick figures and little drawings. And he looked at it, and I mean, he had stacks of them. And they were simple drawings, probably like a little child would draw. But I looked at them. And they had a lot of meaning to them. This boy was trying to express something and try to draw. So, what does this mean, Matthew? And he said, that's me. And he said, this is my grandpa. Of course, I knew Brother Paul Holt. He said, this is my grandpa. He said, there's his Bible. And he said, I've been trying to think about meaning in my life and the people that mean something to me. And there, page after page in that little notebook that he had was pictures like that. And I'll tell him, tell me about this, Matthew. And he said, you know, Brother Crosswhite, he said, I've learned. If I sit here and think about all the problems of life, he said, I start dwelling on the problems. But if I start thinking about all the benefits, or his words weren't benefits, he said, all the good things, he said, my day's a lot better. I'm telling you, here's a boy that will spend the rest of his life in prison somewhere. He spent a lot of his life already there. And he was one of those kids that seemed to always get in trouble because people misunderstood him. And I looked at him and I looked at those little papers and I said, man, it's amazing. What else you got in there? He said, oh, I have pictures. And he showed me pictures of his brothers, pictures of his mom and daddy, pictures in that little Bible. Even though he was not able to read that Bible like anybody else, he did not have an education enough to read the big words. He held that Bible to his chest and he said, I just love this book. It's amazing, folks. And that little cell was just a little stack of nothing. But all through him was it that pride that swole up and said, Pastor, look, I want you to see, Brother Crosswhite, what I got here. When I began to look at his little things that are there, he meant, oh, this boy was so excited. I want to tell you, when we have nothing but God in our life, amen, there is an excitement that is the world didn't give us and the world can't take it away. There's a joy that God gives that you cannot earn, you cannot buy, amen, but it's the gift of God. Amen. It may not be much to the beholder on the outside, but it's meaningful because you knew what God did for you. Howbeit the love of God even came to us while we were yet sinners. Yes. That Christ would die for us.
God comes with love and a warm surrender.
We're the type that would say, no, 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 no. You can't have my pet sin. We have pet sins many times that we are not willing to give over when God says, that's the poison in your life. Why keep poisoning your life? Why don't you just finally surrender and let God have his way? Many people run from that love of God. They run constantly from the things of God. They make all kinds of excuses. You ought to be a pastor. You ought to hear the excuses I get. hey, we missed you at church. Well, you know, Pastor, I had a tremendous headache, and pretty soon they tell me about the headache, and they forgot they told me about a headache, and they start telling me other things. But you know, I was doing this, and I was doing that. Pretty soon, they made all these excuses, and you're going, oh, my. Scratch your head. They're running from the love of God. And you hear all this, why people can't live for God. I can't live for God. You know, all those hypocrites that go to church. Folks, I want to tell you, church was made for the hypocrite. And such were some of us. Are you thankful that the love of God is for the hypocrite? Even the person who just can't get it right. The person that just fumbles and stumbles and messes up. The love of God, the cleansing of God. Hey, friend, you don't have to stay in the hypocrite mood and mode. Amen. God wants to make you an overcomer. God wants to make you a victorious person. Amen. God is here to help you. Are you thankful that God will unfold it and pull you out of the tangles of sin and set your life on the rock of ages? Quit running from that. Many people make all kinds of excuses. They point their finger at other people. They blame. I can't do this. I want to tell you, not one of us deserves to be in the house of God. Not one of us deserves to have the love of God. Not one of us deserves the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful, even when I could get to the basics, that he died for me. I need him. I need his rescuing hand. I need his great mercy. I need eternal life. How beautiful it is. Amen. I know people that has great, great education and philosophy that try to fathom, they just can't figure it out. Where they get to their place and they try to understand the meaning of life. They'll finally get a philosophy, an idea, or a concept that says, this is the way life is and this is the answers of life. But just when a man thinks he's got it solved, he realizes he don't have it solved. Amen. But I'm thankful that I know a God who does. Amen. I may not have the answer, but I know who the answer is. Amen. All my hope is in the answer of a God. Amen. That works beyond my understanding. Amen. In fact, I read a scripture a while ago, and when they were receiving the offering, it came to my mind. It's Psalm the 61st chapter. Amen. It says, when my heart is overwhelmed. You ever been overwhelmed? Have you ever been overwhelmed in life? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen, friend, when I can't handle life anymore. Amen, when I can't fathom what's going on. When I can't handle the storms and the problems all around me. God, lead me. Amen, in order to be led, God, give me sense to follow you. God, give me the sense to follow your leading as the great shepherd. But lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I need something bigger than I am. And oh, I need something greater than I. I need something more wonderful than I. And the Lord is here today. He's greater than what you ever supposed. And he's that mighty God who has what you need. Hey, friend, I want to be led by the things of God to that rock that is higher than I. Why is it when we get overwhelmed, we get boogered up? Shaken up. Why is it this? We get all full of fretfulness. And get mad at the world. We get mad at God. We get mad at ourselves. Instead of just saying, God, I need you. Amen. I'm thankful the Lord is present today and is close as a mention of his name. Amen. There's been many times I've been so frustrated, so flustered in life that I got to the point, I mean, I was just so aggravated. I want to tear up everything in front of me. Amen. But, amen, something deep inside. I sat down one day and I said, I've had enough. And I lifted my hands and said, okay, God, I give it over to you. Within 2 minutes, the Spirit of the Lord would already, amen, come in that room and fill my heart. Amen. I sat there and 5 minutes later laughing. Amen. Because of the joy of the Lord became my strength. I'm telling somebody today, amen, oh, friend, quit running from the love of God. Turn yourself in right now to the love of God that will change and transform you. Quit hanging on to pet sins. Quit hanging on to excuses that will not do you any good, and run to the God that will save your soul, the God that helps you. I looked in the eyes of a beautiful young lady this week. She's very young. She's lost her children. And she's been in our church services in jail many times. And I did a one-on-one visit with Monica. And as I sat down across the table from Monica, she looked at me and she said, Brother Crosswhite, my life has been so horrible. She said, every dream I have has been completely blown away. She said, I even went to church. She went to church in Sardis outside of center. She said, I messed that up. I messed my family up. I messed my whole family picture up. When I look at a young lady, in my mind, I see her. And I said, what's the cause of this? She said, oh, I could blame many things. She said, but really, it's me. I was glad she was open and honest. And I looked, I said, but Monica, I have good news for you. The King of Kings has just stepped in your room. Right here. The King is here to help you. And I come here to give you some keys today to prove to you that God loves you and cares about you. Pretty soon, tears start rolling. This girl's been baptized in Jesus' name before and received the Holy Ghost. She started crying. And I looked over there. The Spirit of the Lord is already ministering in a stinking, nasty jail, the lawyer's visitation room. And we're sitting there. She's on one side of a table. I'm on the other side of the table. And I said, Monica, are you ready to let God? She looked at me. She said, yes. I said, well, it's no big deal. All you got to do is say, God, I surrender. I'm tired of it. And folks, that's exactly what happened. Within a matter of 5 minutes, those little lips were quivering. And all of a sudden, I watched those hands raised up. Even the Spirit of God came in that little room. Amen. Oh, the power of God interrupted. Amen. Everything that was going on in her life. Amen. I'm telling somebody today, talking about beauty, when the beauty of the Lord shows up. Amen. Many people want to ugly their life. Continue to ugly their life with all kind of things, with the poisons of life. Amen. You cannot beautify your life with the world. You cannot beautify your life with the things of the world. Only Jesus can make your life beautiful. Beautify me, oh God, today with your grace. Beautify me with your love. Amen. Love is the only thing that will make you beautiful. The love of God will make your life complete. Hallelujah. Amen. The young girl that was here in our services that I invited, she used to work at Denny's. She's in the jail. We used to pick her up on the bus. And when I called, and the jail staff called her out of her cell, and when she walked around the corner and she seen me, she put the brakes on and she started crying. She said, I can't believe it, but Crosswhite. And when I opened that door to that visitation room, she walks in one door on this side, and I walk in the other. Open the door for her, say, come on in. And I looked at her. I had just talked to Monica first, and then it was Mikhail. When I started praying for Mikhail, I said, Mikhail, there's something about this right here. I said, there's something about the Word of God. And I said, I know you know that this is a book and it's a holy book, but you know why this is the Word of God? And I felt challenged to teach her a Bible study right there in the jail. I reached out and I got my little Bible study chart, Search for Truth, lesson number one. Lesson number one, all it talks about is the Bible. How do we get it? How do we know it's the Word of God? I asked her, I said, do you know how many books are in the Bible? She said, 127. No, ma'am. I said, you know how many writers are in the Bible? She said, I don't know. When she was through with that little lesson, she had a big old smile on her face. She said, Brother Crosswood, that is amazing. I showed her that there's 66 books in the Bible, 27 in the New, 39 in the Old Testament. How to figure out that? When I began to talk to her exactly, amen, how God used and how this precious book, amen, came about, amen, how it came through trials and tests of life, pretty soon, she was shaking her head. She said, you know what? I never knew this. She said, it makes me feel so good on the inside. Brother Crosswhite, amen, to know this. Thank you for taking the time. Just a little bit of time there. Amen. Talking about the Word of God, the love of God, the God of the Word. Amen. Begin to change, amen, some moments and change some things. Amen. I want to tell somebody today, even in your worst dilemma, the love of God, when you let God, amen, God will transform your life. He'll turn the light on where there was totally hopelessness and darkness. The light of God will be turned on. But somebody today, I want to tell you, God's not going to break your door down. God's not going to come in and take over you and wrestle you down. God's not going to do that. But God is waiting for somebody finally to surrender to Him and say, God, I need that love. I need what you have. You come more to rescue me. You didn't come just to control me. You come to save my life. Hallelujah. I believe right now is a good time. Amen. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to open up. Amen. And let God. Somebody needs to get to business with God this morning. Amen. Somebody needs to say, God, here am I. I'm ready for what you have for my soul. I'm ready for your goodness and power. I'm ready for your grace. I'm ready, God. Amen. For a difference and for a change. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Completeness is the most valuable commodity. My mind thinks about people. If I call the name, the world knows them. I don't even know who they are. But people whose life, when we say these people that have been famous, maybe musicians or actors. I read an article about a young man named Robin Williams. He was a comedian and made everybody laugh. Robin Williams had the talent that even, I mean, when they write movies and whatever, if one understands it's a script, they said even when it wasn't even a script, he had the talent and capability to have everybody laughing. And he said he was the life of the party, the laughter, the clown. But he was a miserable man behind closed doors. Very depressive. Very, very full of anguish. And even anger on the inside. He can make people laugh. Robin Williams committed suicide. He had millions. He had millions of dollars and millions of fans. People that loved him. They loved to laugh at him. They loved to hear him and see him. This man did not have that completeness. He did not have the love of Jesus Christ. I want to tell somebody today, there's nothing like the love of the Lord. Amen. There's nothing like the love of God. Amen. There's no joy like having the love of Jesus in operation. Amen. The power of God. Why don't we just surrender? Why don't you just say yes to God? Nothing will give you completeness. Nothing will give you fulfillment. Amen. Like the grace of God. Must I keep pounding? Must I keep going forward? Amen. I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost today, you may have drifted from the love of God. Drifted from that place where God has overwhelmed your mind. Where you're no longer dedicated like you used to be. You're no longer consecrated. You have drifted to where, amen, your experience is way back in your rearview mirror. Your experience with the Almighty God in prayer has waned down to nothing now. And the only time you pray is whenever you feel guilty. I want to tell somebody, when you have drifted, prayer becomes something you got to do when you're in need, and something you get to do. I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, the long arm of God is able to snatch you right when you're able to go over that waterfall of sin and over into eternity. The great hand of God today can do that. Amen. But friend, it's a lot better when you just open the door and say, God, I've drifted enough. I've had enough today. I need you. You did not intend today to come and do business with God. You had a hope in the back of your mind saying, you know, maybe God will overtake. Maybe, maybe, maybe. You thought, well, it's too much work. It's too much things. I got to get right. I got to get all this in order. No, I want to tell somebody, all you have to do is stop and say, help me, Jesus. I need you today. I've been drifting. I need revival in my spirit. I need the love of God restored in my soul. No wonder the scripture that we read a while ago, restore. Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. Somebody today, you have drifted. Oh, it's in your rearview mirror. Amen. But today, the hand of the Lord wants to stop you. There's a voice. There's a bulletin out. Amen. You need to surrender. It's not that God is after you, amen, to put shackles and chains on you, and to bind you down, and to mess up your life. God is here to rescue you. Amen. God is here to bless you. God is here to minister to you. Amen. Oh, can't you hear the tone of the bulletin of his love? Can you hear the tone of the message today? Hey, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be miserable another day of your life. Why don't you just surrender? Why don't you just stop and say, okay, God. Hallelujah. Have mercy upon me, God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin that is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, amen, and done awful in your sight. My God is here today, amen, to hear that cry. Amen. Have you reached that point today? Have you reached that place today that you're finally realizing how much you need to surrender and say yes to God? Amen. I want every head bowed and every hand lifted right now. Amen. Would you bow your head? Somebody needs to lift those hands above your head. And you lift both hands. Don't lift one. Amen. You're not on the monkey bars today. Amen. You're before God. God's wanting a surrender from your life. You've done it to your own self. You made a mess out of your life, but God is here today to help you, to pull you out, amen, of the miry clay, to pull you out of the hopeless pit of life. That, oh, he's here today to lift you up and place you on a rock. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to make a surrender. In fact, I felt in the Holy Ghost very strong. Amen. The alarm has sounded. Amen. You can't go too much further in life the way you've been living. Amen. You won't be able to handle what's right around the corner. The poison will come in. Amen. And begin to corrupt you so bad. Amen. You need the Holy Ghost right now to renew you. Amen. This altar's open for you right now. I would not make a second guess. Amen. A second chance. I would say, God, right now I'm coming. Amen. I'm coming to surrender to your love. I would not hold back. I would not play with God this morning. Amen. I would not negotiate with the hand of God. Amen. And try to think there's a better time and a better place. But today I would surrender if I was you. I would say, God, here am I. Amen. Oh, friend, the Lord's looking for those that would run to him and open the door and say yes to him. Amen. Can you run to the Lord this day? This altar's open for you. God wants to make an exchange for your guilt, your shortcomings, your hopelessness, your miserableness. He's come to change it. He's come to minister to you, to fill you with his love and grace. He's come to rescue you. Hallelujah. Pull over your life. Pull over. Turn to Him. Surrender to Him today. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray together. Would you fill this place with prayer this morning? Amen. We have guests that needs prayer. Would you pray with me? Lord, help us today, Jesus. Let your spirit, let your mercies fall fresh in us. We love and we worship you, Jesus. Amen. Since Christians just to sing, but I want you to open your heart and pray. Lord, have your way, have your will in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Loves you.
Jesus.
Yes, He does.
Loves you.
Thank you, Jesus.
He loves you.
Hallelujah.
He loves
Come on, perfect love will cast away all fear. Perfect love will cast away all inconsistencies.
Jesus.
He just wants to love you. He's here today to put His arms around you. Come on, let Him guide you and lead you to the rock that is higher than you. Somebody, your brother, will you help me pray? Find somebody to pray with right now. Amen. There's needs here today. Come on, He loves, He cares.
Loves you. He loves you.
Come on, make it a sincere time with the Lord today.
Loves you.
He's here. The lifeline is thrown for you. Come on, get a hold of it. Get a hold of that hope. you pray that, Lord? Surround me. Surround me, oh Lord. Surround me, oh Lord. Let your presence fill this place. Surround me, oh Lord. Let it be your prayer. You know, the hardest people to convince to surrender to God is those people that know the power of the Holy Ghost that's been around. Y'all know that's the hardest people to preach to about surrender, is the people that know. I mean, it's hard for us to get the lesson, huh? Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've heard this all our lives. We know what we need to do. But the hardest people to convince is the people that God really wants to convince. I'm telling you, the hardest people is that one that is hanging on. But it don't take about 2-3 minutes of somebody just finally surrendering. The Spirit of God starts coming in for God to change that completely for you, and for the light of God to turn on. God to take that poison out of your system. Give you hope and worth again. To make you something. Sister Jennifer Mansfield. Is that your last name? I can't remember. But Sister Jennifer, can remember you as a powerful warrior. And I've been praying, God, I want you to restore that place. I pray. She's going through a lot, y'all. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to, whatever. But in prayer, Sister Jennifer, I keep praying for you. It's okay, God. I want you to restore this little lady. I'm talking about a powerful prayer warrior. God's ready to let it happen all over again. To use your life. But KT, you don't belong to the world. You belong to God. A while ago, when I said I seen somebody with a broom in her hand, it was you I seen. But it didn't take but 2 minutes while ago, huh? The Holy Ghost to prove to you that he loves you. 2 minutes to feel, to get rid of all that old guilt, the fangs of guilt and shame. Condemnation is a thief, y'all. Condemnation says, Carmen, you're not good enough. Carmen, why are you going to raise your hands? Look what you didn't do this week. You see, the devil works on you more what you didn't do than what you did. Look what you didn't do. And you ever seen a condemned, right around the corners, two condemned buildings here at the church. And the way you know it's condemned, they start nailing plywood at the windows, the doors, condemned. And a lot of times the city would put a little sign up. Well, the enemy likes to nail that plywood over any hope, any ray of hope on the inside. You're condemned. You're left for the rats. You're left for the possums and the coons and for anything else to get in, for a rock just to take your life. Well, the enemy condemns you. You know what? Condemnation is not of God. Condemnation is not of God. Condemnation tells you you're hopeless. It's not worth living for God. It's condemnation of the devil. Condemnation of the devil. When you feel like, there's no use lifting my hands. No use worshiping God. That's condemnation. Condemnation makes you feel like, I'm not doing that. I don't feel like it. Condemnation will numb you. That you have no feeling or desire to do what's right. Condemnation. But you know what the Holy Ghost does? God gives liberty. Liberty comes. Liberty says, this house is not a condemned house. It's my house. And God starts, open the door, open the windows and said, I want grace to flow in this place. Amen. Mercy to flow. The goodness of the Lord. Amen. There's something about it when you get a, amen. God, when God's maid service doesn't take 3 hours. Amen. God don't have to come in with a big old truck to back him up. We got a lot of junk here. No. It only takes just a few minutes for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When the Holy Ghost does it, God sets you free. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. I don't care how big of a load of sin and guilt and condemnation you have in your heart. When the Holy Ghost comes, the Holy Ghost will vanish even every spirit of condemnation. He removes our transgression as far as Cushion is from Reclaw. Well, I'm glad you know the word. As far as Woden is from Etah. As far as Nacogdoches is from Douglas. As far as Central Heights is from Mount Enterprise. No. Amen. He will remove our transgression as far as, somebody say it loud, the east is from the west. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Give the Lord a hand today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We're so thankful for our guests being with us today. Amen. And Brother Luis and Sister Maria, y'all brought some special guests with you today. This is their son and daughter, our son and daughter-in-law. We're so blessed to have you. Amen. God bless them for being with us. And Sister Ricky, who's that beautiful lady you brought with you today? We're so glad that you're with us today. Always, she's such a beautiful person. I mean, always got that beautiful smile. Thank you for coming. You know, the Lord touched her the other night in that service. She enjoyed Thursday night service. And I seen the glory of the Lord all over her. Amen. So good to have you back. And every one of you today, we love you. And God's doing great things. Amen. Easter's right around the corner. Brother Roach will be our preacher this year for Easter, our minister. And Brother Roach is not a stranger to this pulpit. He's excited about coming. And we're excited to have him with us. Amen. Every portion is kind of like Brother Schubert. Every moment I could get with these elders, I want it. And so we're excited they're going to be with us. Please invite people to church. We will have a candy rain, but we're going to do a little bit higher up candy rain. There's going to be other things, gifts and different things that we will give away that day. And you'll hear more about it. But we are so excited what God is doing. Amen. Tonight's service, come back. Amen. And let's worship the Lord this evening. God bless you. Let's grow to heaven. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.